Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, the topic is this: catching up with the markets. That's right. We need to catch up with what's going on in the market. See, it's been an interesting time since this coronavirus stuff hit us. You know, we were blown and going. The economy was just kicking butt and taking names. And, you know, real estate was doing well. The stock market was doing well. Unemployment was doing well. Everything imaginable in the economy was mostly doing well. I mean, In my mind, I can't come up with a scenario where the economy wasn't doing well. Now, I'm sure there's some of you out there that have got examples of that. And it's all right. You can send me an email at askal@luinc.com if you want. I'll take a look at it and, you know, I'll respond to you because I think that's important. But I think it's really important to have a good overview of what's going on in the different markets that are out there. Yeah, I do. Because at the end of the day, you have to understand what your left and right flanks are doing. You have to know what the current situation is doing. You have to know what you don't know. And that's important. And that's why we're talking about this today. We need to catch up with the markets. And I'll tell you what, there's really no better way to do it than to reach out to one of my vendors and get data from them. See, one of our vendors is CBRE. They're a commercial real estate firm. They do sales of all types of real estate. I believe they also manage some lending stuff. I'm not 100% sure what they do. I just know that they're just huge, and they're a part of what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. And Jim, my contact over at CBRE, sent me some data earlier in the week, and you know, it's some pretty good stuff. Basically, what CBRE did was they kind of put together this week in review, and what I'm going to do is do what Jim suggested I do, which is share it as I see fit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull out the stuff that you need to know about. I'm going to leave the stuff that you don't need to worry about, the stuff you don't need to care about, on the table, and we're going to focus on what's important. So what do I think is important? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about commercial real estate. Yeah, I know I rarely do it on the show, but today's show is going to be a little bit different because I know there are those of you out there that are investing in commercial real estate. I know that there are those of you out there that are wanting to invest in commercial real estate. And when I say commercial real estate, It is a big mix of stuff. You see, you've got industrial, you've got retail, you've got hotels, you've got shopping centers, data centers, you've got multifamily. Oh, multifamily. Now, hey, there is something I'm very interested in. And quite frankly, there's a lot of good data going around with regards to multifamily. So what do you say? Why don't we just get into the data and let's see what it does to our brain? So CBRE is basically talking about multifamily, and they're saying multifamily has a good relative strength right now, that the rent collections in May were slightly ahead of April and only 1.5 percentage points less than a year ago. That's really good when you consider all the doom and gloom that we were worried about with rent collections when this whole COVID-19 thing hit us. He goes on to say the National Multifamily Council reported an 80.2%, let's get that out, collection rate this month as of May 6, compared with 78% in April and 81.7% a year ago. He says owners are reporting a pickup in new leasing activity, though still far lower than a year ago. Well, that's because a lot of people aren't moving. A lot of people, you know, had leases end up and they went on month to month. Some people got themselves into some financial challenges and maybe they had to leave a property and couldn't put themselves in a position where they could re-rent. I mean, it happens. Maybe they went to go live with relatives. Maybe they went to go live with friends. I don't know. But there are different scenarios for different people as they were affected by this COVID-19 thing. Now, retention rates remain higher than normal. And that's basically what I'm talking about. Rents on renewals are flat to slightly positive. Rents on new leases are lower than pre-COVID-19 period. Average asking rents are down 1% since March 11th. Investment activity is at reduced levels, and March closings, now here's with what we're talking about with closings, is these are actual properties that are transacting, okay, going from one entity to another entity, fell 23%. From a year ago. That's pretty significant, okay? And April could register a decline of more than 50%. Why? Because there wasn't a lot of property transacting, because there were a lot of people that were caught up in the whole COVID-19 thing. A lot of people that thought that maybe they wanted to sell chose a different route. A lot of people that wanted to do, you know, refinance on a property, they chose to wait. A lot of people that wanted to do different things within the marketplace, the COVID-19 environment was not the time to do it. So that's part of the reason we're seeing a lot of these reductions in rates for closings for multifamily properties. But I think it's going to come back. I really do. And I think what you need to do is you need to just hang in there, stay focused, and stay caught up with the markets. You need to understand what the markets are doing. Now, there's a multifamily housing rent payment tracker that CBRE put together. And in that tracker, they say that the rent payment tracker found that 87.7% of apartment households made a full or partial rent payment by May 13th in its survey of, get this, 11.4 million units of professionally managed apartment units across the country. Okay, so these are apartment communities that have professional management on them. Usually we start to see professional management start to be applied at a unit size of about 50 units and larger. So what they're not tracking is they're not tracking some of the smaller operators. They're not tracking some of the mom and pops out there. So that, you know, taking that into consideration could skew the numbers a little bit, but then again, maybe it doesn't skew them at all. But when we come back from the break, I'm going to get more into this data because you need to know what's going on in the markets. We'll be back right after this.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for 29 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they have won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 12 of the last 12 years. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back. We're talking about catching up with the markets. You know, there's a lot that's been going on in the marketplace. A lot of us have been sitting at home or telecommuting and just trying to ride through this pandemic. A lot of places are starting to open back up. I think I heard today that the 50th state that was resistant to starting to open back up has actually started the process. So, you know, what that means is we're hopefully getting back to whatever normal looks like. Now, we know what normal looked like before this pandemic. I mean, the economy was roaring. We were doing great things. We're watching interest rates drop. We're watching cap rates drop on multifamily. We're watching valuations go up. It was a sweet, sweet spot. And then this coronavirus thing came in and it stirred up this hornet's nest of unsurety, things that, you know, we had to deal with that it wasn't on our radar to deal with it. You know, if you had asked me If you had asked me in January what I thought my rent collections would be for the month of April, I would have told you probably better than January. I mean, at the end of the day, all of my residents pay in a timely manner. Now, I do have one resident, one of my single family properties. He has a tendency to pay late. He does it every month. I get a late fee from him every month. And I've told him, hey, if you could just pay a couple days earlier, I wouldn't have to charge you the late fee. And he's like, yeah, well, it just doesn't work out for me financially. So, you know, whatever. I don't have a problem paying the late fee. So I'm like, oh, okay. That's like getting extra rent every month. You know, have I considered migrating his due date? I've actually considered doing that. Just because he is a good resident, he does pay. I mean, outside of the fact he tends to pay 3 to 5 days late every month. Okay. He has been a good resident. He has taken care of the property. When I have my, what I like to call my spies, my folks that go in and inspect the property, to make sure that everything is good, make sure the resident is doing the things that they need to do to take care of the property, that, you know, they don't have, you know, 80 people living in a property that only has 3 people on the lease, or, you know, they've got, you know, 5 chihuahuas in there when I specifically have a no pet policy. Actually, I do allow in pets on an occasional basis. You know, it's usually an animal, preferably a cat or a dog, who is well behaved. And at the end of the day, I need to make sure that they're not going to destroy my property, because I have seen what animals can do to rental property. I have, and it's not pretty. So I'm very, very cautious when I let people in that have animals, but I do it. I do it from time to time. And I base it on the strength and character of the individual that will be my resident. They're the people that are signing the lease. They're the people I am in contract with. I agree to provide good, clean, functional workforce housing. They agree to take care of that housing while they occupy it and pay me my rent in a timely manner in accordance with what the lease says. And that's really, at the end of the day, what it's all about. Now, getting back to, you know, what was I thinking in April versus what I was thinking in January? Well, I had some concern. I did. But the first thing I did was I reached out to my residents, and I determined what their situation was. I did it a couple of ways. One, I did a lease audit. So I determined, you know, who was working what industries. So, you know, and I had two guys, two of my residents that were working in the service industry. And I knew this because they put it on their rent application. So I knew that they were potentially affected. And sure enough, they were. One of them has been able to get by because he had money saved up, okay? And ironically, it's the guy that pays late every month. Go figure, right? People, you know, people do strange things. But, you know, as long as he's happy paying a little bit late and giving me a late fee, I'm happy to take it. So it is what it is. The other tenant that I had, he lost his job. And, you know, he's got a wife and 2 kids, and, you know, he was in kind of a rough spot because he was one of those guys that, you know, may have a little bit more month at the end of his money. Okay. Just saying it nicely that way. You know, and there are a lot of Americans out there that live paycheck to paycheck. And this gentleman was one of those guys. So when he lost his job, did he cry over spilled milk? No. Did he call me up and say, hey, can I not pay the rent for the next 3 months? No, he didn't do that. You know what he did? He went out and got himself a job. And he not only got himself one job, I found out later, he actually went out and got himself 2 jobs. He was working full time for a grocery store operation, doing stock, you know, shelf stocking, stuff like that. So he got like a 40 plus hour week gig doing that. And then he was able to pick up another gig at another grocery store chain, working part time, basically working 20 hours a week. So although, you know, and in talking to him, I've actually struck up a little bit of a friendship with this gentleman. In talking to him, not only have I found out that he is honorable and he is going to meet his obligations, he is willing to do what it takes in order to, you know, provide for his family. And I think that's worth taking into consideration, because when we're talking all this data, we're talking about, you know, people paying, people not paying. I've got numbers here that say, you know, in April, 85% of renters paid, in May, 87.7%, you know, and that's looking over 11.4 million units of professionally managed properties. Okay. Now, are my single family properties professionally managed? Yes, they are. I have property management on those properties because they're quite a distance away from where I live. So, you know, when it comes time to turn the property, or it comes time to advertise, or, you know, get a new tenant and stuff like that, I don't have the wherewithal or the ability to do that. Actually, I do. To be honest with you, actually, I do. I've been told how to do it. I just choose not to do it. I've had property management on these properties for a very long time, back when I owned them incorrectly. And I've got a good property management team. They do the things that they're supposed to do. They help me take care of my properties. They help me take care of my residents. And it's a good relationship. And the other thing it does for me is it keeps me pretty passive. You know, so whereas I've got friends that live in California that own properties in Houston and Dallas and Atlanta and other places, and they don't have professional property management. They manage those themselves. I'm just in a slightly different place. I just choose not to do it. And is there anything wrong with that? No. Now, does it have an impact on my bottom line? Yeah, it's a cost that I've got to calculate in. So it does have an impact on my monthly cash flow. But for the peace of mind that it provides, for the fact that, you know, outside of being told I've got a tenant that's coming up for a lease renewal, or I'm told that, you know, we have a tenant that's coming up on the end of their lease and they're considering leaving the property, they make life easy for me. They really do. They take care of 99.7% of all the things that need to be taken care of on my properties, and they leave the big ticket decisions to me. Now, what does this have to do with catching up on the markets? Well, it has everything to do with catching up on the markets, because I'm telling you what my experience has been. And more importantly, you need to start thinking about what your experience might be. We'll be back right after this.
Get total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. 29 years ago, Dell Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Dell has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the 5 ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. I want to let you know that if you want to get a hold of me for any reason at all, any reason, okay, now I prefer that your reason was real estate based, but if for whatever reason you need to use me as a sounding board, or you want to just start a conversation with me, you can do that. And the easiest way to do that is go to my email. Well, don't go to my email, go to your email and then send me an email. And you can send me an email at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. You know, I get a lot of emails daily from the listeners. I got a really great email that came in today from Dean. Dean, I did respond to you directly through the email. Dean was asking a question about, it wasn't necessarily real estate related. It had to do with cars and whether whether or not, you know, it made sense to buy a car for cash or to take out a loan for the car or lease the car or what. So I gave him my thoughts. I sent it back to him, and, you know, hopefully we can start up a little bit of dialogue, you know, or maybe I answered his question and we're good. But in any case, you can reach me at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. I'll tell you what, if you want to be a part of one of our virtual case studies, I know we've got one coming up at the end of the month. You could shoot me an email at askal@luinc.com and say, hey, Al, sign me up for that that case study. And you know what I'll do? I'll get you taken care of, because our case study events are really cool. It's an opportunity for our members and our guests. There's the key word, our guests. See, this is the only event that we do at Lifestyles Unlimited that's a members-only event that members are allowed to invite guests to attend. And the reason we do that is because we think it's so important for people to see other people being successful investing in real estate. See, our case studies bring out three of our members. Two of the members are focused on single family. One is focused on multifamily. So what they're going to do is they're going to basically, well, because we're doing everything virtually, they're not going to stand up in front of a group. They're going to basically stand up in front of their computer screen, and they're going to tell us about the properties that they acquired. They're going to tell us about not only how they acquired it, they're going to tell us about what they did to remediate the property, if they had to remediate the property. I mean, some properties are you can buy them and they're good to go. Those aren't necessarily the properties that we like to buy at Lifestyles Unlimited, but our members do buy properties like that. So I can't rule it out, because depending on your strategy, depending on what you're trying to accomplish, that property that's already fixed up and ready to go is a great little yield play for you. It's going to start producing cash flow right out of the bat, and you don't have to go through the rehab process or anything like that. And for some people, that makes total sense. For me, not so much. You know, I'm kind of along the lines of, you know, I'd like to find a dirty, nasty property that, you know, has not been taken care of, that, you know, fortunately somebody had moved out of, because, oh my goodness, some of the places that I've seen, it amazes me the way people live. It really does. And I'll tell you what, for my residents, I won't have them living in a crappy, half-assed property. I won't do it. They will live in clean, functional workforce housing, and I will make sure that it's the best product at the best price for the best people in that neighborhood. Absolutely. Because what I want is a solid relationship with my resident in the form of a lease. I want to provide for them. I want them to help provide for me. It's a symbiotic relationship. And it works. It works very well. Now, let me do this. Let me get back to the market updates, because what I was doing in a previous segment, I was talking about a National Multifamily Housing Council rent payment tracker. Wow, that's a lot to get out. And this is something that CBRE research provided to me. And basically what they said, the rent tracker found that 87.7% of apartment households made a full or partial rent payment by May 13th in its survey of 11.4 million units of professionally managed apartment units across the country. Now, I'm here to tell you, the properties that I'm invested in have a much higher rent collection. It's just the way it is, because Lifestyles Unlimited lead investors are a different breed. They really are. They are focused like a laser on doing multifamily the correct way, getting it up and running, getting the right residents in the property, making it a true apartment community for the residents. I mean, at the end of the day, we create beautiful places for beautiful people to live. And they in turn take their hard-earned money and they spend it in the form of rent. And that's where we get our income streams from. Not only does that income stream provide us a profit margin, it pays for things like, mortgage expenses for principal and interest. It pays for the taxes and pays for the insurance. It pays for any ongoing maintenance or maintenance reserves. And at the end of the day, it provides me a profit margin. And that is the ultimate goal for having the properties. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not in this to be the government. I'm not in this to provide free housing. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this to provide great places for great people to live. And in turn, getting the opportunity to charge a fair market rent for the property that I in turn pay all the associated expenses for. See, the resident doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff. I take care of all of that stuff for them, and they're good to go until the first of the month, next month, and then the process starts over again. It's a good thing. Let's talk a little bit about geography. I found a couple points in the CBRE prospect. I don't know what this is. They call this the weekly take. That's what they call it. And it's for the week of May 18th. Anyhow, geography. These are some of the trends that are happening based on geography. Technology and government heavy markets continue to perform the best in multifamily. They do. Now, here's a line I really like, because it starts off with the word Texas. Texas, the Carolinas, and some Midwest markets also are performing better than the national average. Where are all my multifamily investments in? Yeah, they're in Texas, which is part of the reason that Texas is outperforming this. Remember, this is a national rent tracker. This also takes into account different classes of property. Now, what kind of class of property am I primarily invested in? I'm primarily invested in B and C properties. I don't have Class A properties. I don't invest in Class A properties because they don't meet my investing criteria. They just don't. Okay. For some of our members, they do. We've got members at Lifestyles Unlimited that own Class A properties. Heck, our founder and CEO, Del Walmsley, he went out and bought himself a Class A property when he was in the hospital. So what I'm here to tell you is that you could be in the hospital and you could still take down a good property that will positively affect your portfolio. Now, on the class breakdown, they say that Class C product is still trailing Class A and B products in rent collections by about 5%. But again, that's based on a national trend of 11.4 million units that are quote unquote professionally managed. That doesn't necessarily take into account Lifestyles Unlimited properties. And Lifestyles Unlimited properties, from what we see, are doing much better than the national average. And data providers expect a spike in Class A availability and vacancy despite an uptick in website traffic. They expect a 20% increase since the March low. So that would be a good thing for those Class A properties. And also expect asking rents to decrease more in those luxury products compared to Class B and C. So what that means is that the rents that we're charging in the properties I'm invested in are doing quite well. They're doing quite well. Class A is having to make some concessions. Class A is having to come down a little bit on their price. I don't think that's happening to the Class A that Lifestyles Unlimited members own, but it is happening as a national trend. And when we come back, I'll get into some of the economic forecasts right after this.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the show. On today's show, we're talking about catching up with the markets. You know, there's a lot that's been going on even behind the scenes while we've been shuttered, you know, stuck in our homes, stuck away from our businesses. Some of us are telecommuting. Some of us are not. Some of us got a stimulus check. Some of us didn't. You know, it's been a crazy couple of months, and it's time for us to get refocused. It's time for this country to get back on track. And what I'm doing today is I'm pulling excerpts out of a CBRE document that was sent to me by Jim. He's my contact at CBRE. By the way, CBRE is one of our vendors. So, you know, when you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, you get access to the deep bench of vendors that we have. And we have everything from the national vendors like CBRE all the way down to what I like to call some of the mom and pops out there. You know, we've got handymen and things like that. That, you know, their business model is just the guy that does the handiwork. And, you know, some of those guys are really, really good at what they do. And if they weren't, they wouldn't be on our vendor list. That's just the way it is. Now, let me talk a little bit about the economic forecast from CBRE's perspective. I think it's very, very important to understand what, you know, the big entities are thinking, because it has a trickle down effect to us. And what CBRE is saying is this: Fed Chairman Jerome Powell called for further government fiscal stimulus to help prevent a prolonged recession. Ooh, there's that R word. That's that recession word that we're thinking might be looming out on the horizon. And when a recession hits, I hate to say it. Well, I don't hate to say it. I kind of want to say it. Real estate goes on sale. And that's the way it is. The report says government stimulus to date totals nearly $3 trillion, or 11% of our gross domestic product. The House proposed another $3 trillion package this week, but it's unlikely to pass the Senate as currently proposed. Ultimately, we believe Congress will agree to another round of at least $2 trillion in some form. CBRE's current forecast is for unemployment to peak at 15% and fall to around 9% by year's end. Other economists are more pessimistic, with Goldman Sachs forecasting unemployment at, wow, get this, 25% in the second quarter. Meanwhile, in China, where all of this started, there are signs of an apparent economic bounce back. CBRE's real-time economy tracker suggests that GDP, that's the gross domestic product, growth has returned in China to about 4% on an annualized basis. Okay, so what does all that gobbledygook mean? Well, it means that we're still not out of what we're in. Okay, we're starting to pull out. We as an economy are starting to wake up. We as a people are starting to get back to our normal lives. We are starting to get out and we're getting our hair cut. We are going to restaurants, you know, and I went to a restaurant not too long after they opened here in Texas. And, you know, it was kind of interesting because for every booth that was open, there were three that were closed, and it was crazy. And believe it or not, there was a waiting list to get in because they only had 25% of their available space available for us to sit. So we had to wait a little bit, but when we got in, we were definitely isolated. There was nobody within 6 feet of us outside of the server that cruised on by, and he was wearing, you know, a mask and gloves. So, you know, we felt pretty good about the situation, and I don't believe we contracted COVID-19. At least I'm pretty confident of that. And I'm not sure why I'm going down this rabbit hole, other than to tell you I'm just happy that we're getting back to work. I'm happy that our lives are getting back to some form of normal. Now, we don't know what normal is going to look like, okay? Normal is going to be impacted by what's going on in the world around us. But I think we're going to get back to something that looks a lot closer to what we had prior to this pandemic than what we're dealing with right now. Now, I think it's also important to point out that interest rates have been, you know, they've been pretty low. They've been extremely low. And here's what's going on out there. On May 13th, that's last week, the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell announced that the central bank is not considering cutting interest rates below zero in order to further stimulate the economy. Nonetheless, Federal fund futures continue to indicate a possibility of negative U.S. interest rates by April of 2021. What does that mean? Well, it means when you have negative interest rates, the government is actually paying you to take the money. Yeah, that's kind of the way it works. And as of May 15th, U.S. equities and U.S. Treasury yields dropped again as investors digested the latest economic data. Retail sales and consumer confidence updates will likely be less market moving than the implications of the 20-year U.S. Treasury auction since 1986 occurring next week. That's this week. Treasury yields have had little in reaction to the release, with the curve modestly flatter and yields slightly lower. Wow. I'm not even sure I know what I just read, to be honest with you, other than the fact that interest rates are going to stay where they're at. So we're not looking at interest rates coming up. We're actually looking at a very positive thing. Let me switch over to a separate article that was written by a gentleman by the name of Bendix Anderson, and this was published in National Real Estate Investor. I'm just going to read the first couple of paragraphs because I think he makes a really compelling argument that I agree with. And anytime I agree with an argument, I'm willing to share it with you. Anytime I disagree, I'm willing to share that with you too. So he goes on to say this. He says, when the Fed slashed rates to near zero 2 months ago, there was speculation that it would fuel a wave of commercial real estate refinancing. But then the deep crash in economic activity precipitated by nationwide shutdowns and the overall uncertainty created by the COVID-19 crisis quickly put all that talk to an end. However, with some states talking and taking cautious steps to reopen, the nation approaching nearly 400,000 COVID-19 tests per day, and the commercial real estate sector having a better sense of what the long-term outlook might be, lenders are willing to talk about refinancing deals again. And this is particularly true for the multifamily sector, where agencies, life companies, banks, and other sources have shown some willingness to do deals on well-positioned assets. What's a well-positioned asset? Well, talk to a Lifestyles Unlimited lead. They will tell you what a well-positioned asset is, because that's what they create, is a well-positioned asset in the market. Basically, we've got low vacancy rates. We've got good income streams. We control our expenses. Our net operating income is doing well. We've got great cash reserves. Everything that is necessary to have a peak performing property, we do. And that's what I invest in. That is exactly what I invest in. The article goes on to say this. It says, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae lenders are now making loans with all-in fixed interest rates at, okay, you need to sit down for this. You ready? 3% or even lower. Yeah, you heard me. 3% or even lower. On May 12th, the benchmark yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond was 0.72%. It has hovered between 0.5% and 0.9% for several weeks. In comparison, in the months before the crisis, the benchmark yield hovered between 1.5% and 2%. So that right there in itself, just that piece of information right there in itself is a good news story. Because let me tell you what's going on in my world. Yeah, let me just tell you about some of the apartment communities that I'm invested in. We've got one that was ready to go for a refinance. We were going to do a cash out refinance. We've been in this property for 2 years. It was a dump, okay? The lead investor went in, cleaned it all up, found great quality residents, and now we have an apartment community that provides a beautiful living place for 212 different families. Yeah, it's a 212 unit apartment community. And I'll tell you what, it is doing well. It is at 97, 98% occupancy. The financials look great. Net operating income is increasing as it's supposed to. Even going through this whole COVID thing, things have been doing really well. So now coming out of the COVID thing, now we get to explore the opportunity of maybe going back to that cash out refinance. Now, why that cash out refinance? Why is that so important to me? Here's why. Because what we were projecting prior to the COVID-19 happening was this. We would cash out refinance, and everybody who was invested in the property should receive at least 60% of their money back. That means for every $100,000 you put into that deal, you're going to get a check for at least $60,000 back, meaning you're only going to have $40,000 left in the deal. And it's still going to be producing cash flow at a 6% annualized rate paid quarterly, which is beautiful. Now, so what do you do with that other $60,000 that comes back after the refinance? Well, you position that money because like the article suggested, there may be a recession looming on the horizon. And when a recession hits, that's the time to have dry powder. That's the time to be in position to act and act accordingly. And I'll tell you what, Del Walmsley, our founder and our CEO, he's convinced that we've got a recession coming on the horizon. So you need to make sure you're putting all your assets together correctly, you're managing them correctly, and more importantly, you're catching up with the markets. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.